Turn with me now in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, page 1160 in the Pew Bibles. This morning, we're going to read verses 10 through 18 of Ephesians chapter 6, although our focus is going to be on verse 14. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Congregation of Christ, we've come to our place in the study of this epistle to the Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul has given us his final appeal, and it's a summons to battle. The summons is this: be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. The Christian is to find his strength in the Lord and in the power of His might. In the battle that we're waging, it's only the strength of the Lord that can cause us to prevail. One of our old hymns says, "The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own." If you trust in your own strength, and you think you can stand against the enemy of your soul, against the spiritual forces of darkness in the heavenly realms, in your own power, you failed before you've even set out to do battle. The strength that you need is the strength that comes from the Lord. And the armor that you need for the fight is the armor of God. It comes from His armory, and you must put it on. Well, starting at verse 14 of this sixth chapter of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul describes for us the armor of God, and he instructs us on how to put it on. It's the whole armor of God, the heavy armor of the infantry soldier. But the emphasis falls on the fact that it's God's armor. It's the whole armor of God. It's the armor provided for by God. And it can only be used by the Christian. You can't put on the armor of God if you're an unconverted person. The unregenerate person doesn't need this armor. He doesn't wrestle against the rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world. The one who's unregenerate sits in chains of bondage, already defeated by those powers. The unconverted person doesn't need that armor. What he needs is to be set free from his sin and to experience the power of the new birth. Paul's writing about the armor of God to Christians, who have experienced the power of being raised to new life from the death of sin and being made alive in Christ. He's writing to those who are already seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. To them, he now says, take up the whole armor of God. Put it on. You have an enemy to contend with. Not one of flesh and blood, but one who comes against you in the heavenly realm. Now, we mustn't think of this armor in purely material terms. Paul's giving us an illustration from the physical realm, taken from how soldiers in his day equipped themselves for battle. But he's doing this to express spiritual truth. What is the whole armor of God? It's an understanding and an application of the truth of the gospel. Every part of this armor is spiritual, and every part is essential. You can't pick and choose the parts that you just want to put on. Can you imagine a soldier saying, well, I don't like wearing a helmet? There are soldiers who have said that. They don't usually last very long in battle. Or what about the one who says, wearing a breastplate is too confining? Well, there's a reason you're commanded to put on the whole armor of God. And the reason is that you need all of it. And you have to learn how to put it on. This picture that the Apostle Paul gives us isn't meant to be an exhaustive one. There are other aspects to the Christian's warfare and defense. But these things which he presents are essential. And as we examine the description given, we need to take care not to over-elaborate the details. That was one of the shortcomings of the Puritans. They sometimes pressed figures of speech into detail far beyond what the scripture actually said and required. They turned parables into allegories. They overinterpreted metaphors. This picture that Paul gives us isn't just something for us to have in our heads. It's not a puzzle for us to unravel or an allegory to figure out. It wasn't given to us so that we could say, oh yes, let's see. The belt is truth, the breastplate is righteousness, the helmet is salvation, the shield is faith, and so on. That's not why this was given. By his description of the full armor of God, the Apostle Paul is giving us vital instructions about how to fight against the spiritual forces that are arrayed against us in the heavenly realms. How do you meet the problems and trials that come your way? Do you meet them and face them just like the natural man does? Or do you face those trials as the spiritual man does? As a Christian warrior clothed with the whole armor of God. Now, it's customary to say that there are six pieces of armor which Paul describes. It might be better to say that there are six aspects to putting on the whole armor of God. This morning, we're going to look at the first one. The first thing that Paul mentions isn't really a piece of equipment. He describes something that you do. Now, some of the translations miss the point when they say, as you find in the ESV and as you find in the NIV, Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth. There's no belt or girdle mentioned in the original Greek. The King James is actually much better when it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. And the only problem with that way of translating the verse is the voice of the verb. It sounds like someone else does the girding for you. The New American Standard gets it right when it translates it, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. That's a very good translation, assuming you know what your loins are. The New King James is essentially the same, but they use a more modern word for the word loins. It says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Now the phrase, gird up your loins, was a fairly common expression in Bible times. It's less familiar to us for the simple reason that these days, men don't wear tunics. Men wear pants. But in Paul's day, only barbarians did that. You know, those people up by the Danube, up in Germany, they wore pants. Civilized people wore tunics. That was the standard dress for men, to wear a long tunic. Now, there's an illustration enclosed in your bulletin on how to gird up your loins. And you can look at that if you haven't already done so. It is true that once you've girded your loins or your waist, if you were a Roman soldier, you'd secure that tunic with a leather belt or a girdle, which would hold everything in place. And that would also give you something on which you could hang a sheath for your sword. But the point of girding up your loins was so that you could be ready for action. And that's the point that Paul's making. Your tunic would be tightly bound and you'd be secured in it, allowing you to run or to work without getting tripped up or restricted by it. Some of the young women here who wear long dresses and skirts are probably in the best position to understand what this means. If you want to run or play soccer and you're wearing one of these long dresses or skirts, if you want to do something that requires freedom of movement for your legs, well, binding up your skirt around your waist allows you to do that. That's girding your loins. And that's what the Apostle Paul says is that the Christian is to do. He's to gird his loins, and he's to gird it with truth. Now we need to consider what Paul means by truth when he said, having girded your loins with truth, or having girded your waist with truth. Interpreters have debated whether by truth Paul means the gospel of truth or the truth of the Word of God on the one hand, or whether by truth Paul means sincerity, honesty, openness. If you're going to understand what Paul's saying, you have to understand what he means by truth. Now, there are interpreters who immediately reject the understanding that it's the truth of the Word of God or the truth of the gospel, because they note that a few verses later, Paul says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But why should that keep Paul from referring to it here? And furthermore, if you say that by truth Paul's referring to sincerity and honesty and openness, or what today some people would call transparency or candor, then what you make Paul to say is that the Christian soldier must rely on his own sincerity and candor, his truthfulness, in the fight against the devil. If you say that, you've lost the battle before you've begun. Because that would mean that what you're girded with and trusting in is your own disposition to tell the truth. That would be the height of foolishness. Time and again, the Bible tells us, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Well, is trusting in your own sincerity or honesty or truthfulness any better? There's an old hymn that says it well. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. It can't mean by truth our subjective ability to be truthful. That would mean that we are to rely on our sincerity and truthfulness as the first step in the fight against the devil. It would mean that we're trusting ourselves. But the armor that Paul's describing is provided by God. It cannot be my truthfulness. It's something we put on. It's something given to us. The truth with which the Christian is to bind himself in order to go to battle is the truth of the Word of God. It's the truth as it is in Jesus. It's objective truth, which I possess in a subjective manner. It means a mastery of the truth. But it also means being mastered by the truth. To use the phrase of Martin Luther, my conscience is held captive by the Word of God. I'm held by the truth, and it girds my loins so that I can run and do battle. The Bible teaches us to gird ourselves with truth, the truth of the Word, the light of the gospel. And it teaches us that in many places. Jesus said in John chapter 8, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. What was the truth he was talking of? Let me read you the verse just prior to that so you have the context. John 8, 31. To the Jews who had believed on him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth he was talking about was his teaching. Think about John chapter 17, where Jesus prayed for his disciples. In that great chapter, he was praying for their sanctification. Well, Ephesians 6 is all about sanctification. It's about fighting against the devil and evil. What did Jesus pray to the Father in that great high priestly prayer in John 17? He prayed, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. What sanctifies you, what girds up your loins so you can fight against the devil, is the truth of the Word of God. In order to be free from the devil and his schemes, you must be girded with the truth of God, with the Word of God. Now, sometimes in the New Testament, the phrase, the faith, is used to convey the same thing as the truth. The faith is the body of Christian truth you have received. For instance, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 16:13, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong. Stand firm or stand fast in the faith. In other words, stand fast in the body of Christian truth you have received. It's saying the same thing as having your loins girded with truth. And there's also a related expression in Scripture which says, gird up the loins of your mind. You find it in 1 Peter 1:13. Now the NIV translates that expression, prepare your minds for action. The ESV also translates it similarly, preparing your mind for action. The King James lets you see how it's phrased in the original. Gird up the loins of your mind. And the only reason modern translators don't say it this way is because they assume that the modern reader won't understand what it means to gird up your loins. But you know what it is. You're to gird up the loins of your mind, which is your understanding. It's with your mind that you comprehend the truth. And the truth is the truth of the gospel. In the verse which precedes the one I just read from 1 Peter, Peter describes the salvation that the prophets of old inquired about and searched diligently for. He says, it wasn't to them, to those Old Testament prophets, that the things concerning Christ were revealed. He says, it was to us that it's been revealed, to you. And it's been revealed and reported to you by those who have preached the gospel to you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. This is what you are to gird up the loins of your minds with. The truth of the gospel that has been preached to you. The whole body of Christian truth, the truth of the Christian faith. And a little later in the same letter, Peter writes in chapter 5, verse 9, after he says that your enemy, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking those whom he may devour, he says, resist him. Resist the devil, standing firm in the faith. Standing firm in the faith, in the body of Christian truth. That's how you resist the devil. If you're the loins of your mind are girded with the truth of the gospel, then you can fight against and resist the devil. But let's get to the practice of this. How should we gird ourselves with the truth? How do we know when we're doing it right? You know, if you don't gird up your loins properly, your tunic would start to slip down, and you get all tripped up in your own garment. Let me try to give you some practical steps and comments on how to gird up your loins with truth. The first thing is that you must recognize that truth is the first thing you have to put on. Without this, we're completely lost. Why do I even say this? Well, just listen to people talk. Listen to the kind of things that some Christian people say. Truth divides. Doctrine divides. Let's not talk about those things. We don't want to offend others. We don't want to offend others who don't hold the truth the same way we do. Well, to think like that is nonsense. Truth does divide. You know what it divides? It divides those who hold error from those who hold truth. That's what it divides. Well, second, you need to understand that girding yourself with truth means that you must study God's word diligently. It means that you must be eager to hear it whenever you can. When it's preached and when it's taught and when it's explained. And there's a very common Christian way of talking, an expression some Christians use. I've never really found this expression in the Bible, but they talk about having a little quiet time with God or doing your devotions. And what they really mean is quietly reading the Bible and seeking to get some kind of inspiration from it. When someone gives a devotional talk, it usually means they give an inspirational talk, only they're using the Bible. Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, don't think that girding your waist with truth is the same thing as what people call having your devotions. Not that that's wrong to have your devotions. But you can have your devotions every day and watch as your bookmark makes its way through the pages of the Bible. But if after reading your Bible, if it isn't taking a hold of your mind, if after reading it and studying it, you're going away unchanged, if you can read it and then go your way forgetting it, then you're not girding yourself with truth. You need to be growing in your understanding of the Bible's teaching. But simply having a systematic understanding of the Bible, as good a thing as that can be, isn't enough. You need to appropriate it, to own it, is what you base your life on. You need to bind yourself up in it so you can run. You need to walk in it and live according to it every day. Don't just play with your tunic. Gird it up so you can run. You mustn't be a hearer only, deceiving yourself. You mustn't be content with a mere intellectual understanding of the truth. That's the trouble with many who call themselves Christians these days. They'll readily tell you, "I believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God." But they don't do what it says. They're content to make a good statement about the truth, but they don't live it. Well, what good is making a confession about Scripture such as, "I believe the Bible is the inerrant word of God," if by your life you're saying, "I really don't believe it. I'm not going to put it into practice." What good is it if with your life you say, "I understand it enough. I learned all that stuff when I was a kid in Sunday school." And you're content to have a child's understanding and a child's appropriation of the word, even as an adult. That's being double-minded. It's serving two masters: what God tells you to do in His word, and what you want to do or don't want to do. You need to live the truth of Scripture. It needs to be what shapes your thoughts, what helps you make sense of this world around you and of the battle that God has called you to. It needs to form your worldview. And it must be something you will not surrender or lay down or compromise on any essential point. Know whom you have believed. Know what you believe. Be girded with truth. Truth understood and appropriated in such a manner that it governs your whole outlook in every respect. The devil will always try to confuse you with what you believe. He's a liar. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the adversary. And he's a slanderer. And the way you repel him is by putting on the truth. In his second letter to Timothy, Paul wrote about certain people who were in the church. They were teaching that the day of resurrection was past. And Paul wrote these words: "These people who are saying these things are undermining the faith of some." It was an attack of the devil What's the remedy? Here's what Paul wrote. The foundation of God stands sure. Stands firm. What's the foundation? The truth of the gospel. The whole body of Christian truth. The word of God revealed and explained and taught and practiced. Not just intellectual assent to it, but being wrapped in it. Being girded with it. Earlier in the book of Ephesians, we read that God gave his church gifts, apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, for perfecting the saints, for edifying and building up the body of Christ till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. To the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. God gave these gifts to the church that we might be girded with truth. Avail yourselves of the provision God's made for you. Christian soldier, put on the whole armor of God. And the first step in doing that is to gird up your loins, your waist, with the truth of the Word of God, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, how could we ever think about going out into battle against the enemy without girding up our loins with the truth? Lord, in this short verse, this short command, the Apostle Paul has told us so much. Given us such good instruction, Lord. Oh, Lord, may this not just fall into our minds and lie there dormant as an empty fact. Let it permeate our souls. Lord, may we be reading your word. May we gather together with others to study it. May we read it in our homes and on our own. May we go out of our way, Lord, so that we can be built up in it and understand it more, yes, but may we appropriate it. May it form how we think and live before you. May our loins be girt with truth so that we can engage in that great conflict that you've called us to. And having done all, may we be able to stand for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen.